This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Microbiologist Bill Landesman has spent more time looking at the guts of the tiny black-legged tick than almost anyone in the world, I imagine. And now he has new information about the way the diet of these deer ticks, meaning the blood meal the tick gets from whatever animal it attaches to, can have a significant impact on the tick's microbiome. This, in turn, can affect the transmission of Lyme disease. But we need Bill to explain it better. So, Bill Landesman, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
I'm great, and I'm excited to talk with you about this. I understand how you can differentiate what the ticks eat just by putting them in contact with different animals. Like, these ticks get to feed on a possum. These ticks get to feed on a skunk. But I need to have a better picture from you, because when you analyze their guts, I'm picturing teeny tiny surgical instruments and microscopic centrifuges. So set me straight.
Well, it's that you're right. Although for this analysis, we don't even need to dissect the guts. We can just grind up the whole tick.
Yum.
Well, we don't taste it, but yeah, it might be yummy. We grind up the tick and test its DNA, and that's how we can determine what pathogens it's carrying or and information about their microbiome.
And happily, in the case that we're talking about here for your study, you had a bunch of frozen ticks from years ago that you knew exactly which kind of animal they had taken a blood meal from. How did that happen?
Yes, well, this is what made the study so unique. It's when we collect ticks in nature, we have no way of knowing where the tick got its blood meal. We have to go back way back to the early 2000s for this story, when my collaborators, Rick Osfeld, who's at the Carey Institute of Ecosystem Studies in New York, Felicia Kiesing at Bard College, and Kathleen LeJudis at Union College, they did a really large study looking at how different animals, their effectiveness in spreading Borrelia burgdorferi, that's the pathogen that causes Lyme disease, how different animals spread that pathogen to different ticks. And what they did was they trapped very humanely, live trapped animals, all kinds of different animals from nature, brought them to the lab, and collected the ticks that were feeding on them, so they knew exactly what the tick had fed from. Fast forward, and they did all kinds of groundbreaking research with these specimens. Fast forward to the present, and some of these ticks turned up in a freezer, forgotten about. And they said, "Hey, Bill, we've got these ticks. Would you be interested in analyzing them?" And I said, "Absolutely." And that's how we got started on this.
And so what did you find about the difference between, you know, one tick feeding on a skunk and another tick feeding on another animal?
Sure. And by the way, the animals we had were just the ticks that fed on those animals. Those are the ones that happened to be available. We found that they all have very similar species, actually. The core microbiome is quite similar, but they differed in the relative abundances of the different species. And so that's interesting, and really helps to improve our understanding of how the tick microbiome is assembled. And I should clarify that when we talk about the microbiome, we're not just talking about the pathogens that are in the tick. Those are part of the microbiome, but there are lots of other bacteria, fungi, protozoan that are in there that we're just discovering, and we don't know what they're doing, if they're important to disease transmission.
So help me understand why, you know, what the differences are from that. I mean, obviously, the blood of one animal is going to be different from the blood of another animal.
Right.
But within the microbiome of the tick, it's not just the blood of that animal that's affecting it. But, like, what are the differences?
Right. Well, so some of these microbes do come from blood, but also from the skin. When the tick what's on the skin of these animals is probably important. I should say, we don't know for sure where a lot of these microbes are coming from. It could be some are definitely from blood, some from the skin. So imagine when a tick pokes a hole in an animal, the microbes on the skin get mixed in the blood, and the tick might take them in to their gut or in internally. The ticks also make contact with the surface of the tick, makes contact with the surface of the animal, as well as with the surface of their environment, the forest floor or plants. So those are all possible sources, but this would suggest that that the host itself, either from the blood meal, or through this physical contact with tick surface and host surface, are important sources of colonization. And we don't know exactly yet where these microbes are. Are they inside? Are they just on the surface doing nothing? These are all things that I'm working on.
And of course, you know, you care because you're so interested in the black-legged tick, but a lot of people are like, "What? Look, just tell me what this means for Lyme disease transmission."
Well, I'll tell you that this study on its own is not going to solve the problem. It's but it does greatly increase our understanding of the how the tick microbiome is assembled. Now, in that microbiome are potentially organisms that could. In fact, we know this from other research. There are microbes in the tick that can facilitate the establishment of Borrelia burgdorferi in the tick, and there are other microbes that can inhibit Borrelia burgdorferi. And so this helps us to understand where these microbes are coming from, you know, from different contributions of different hosts. And ultimately, you know, I really hope that one day soon we can use this information in some sort of management plan. And it'd be hard to tell you right now what that plan would look like. But once we have a better understanding of what these microbes are doing, where they're coming from, we might be able to harness that information to help you know, clear to reduce the transmission of Borrelia burgdorferi and other pathogens.
So, like, for example, there's a you mentioned other research, and there's a lizard on the West Coast, right, that when the ticks feed on it, it actually kills the Lyme pathogen. So something using something from that lizard could be applied in some kind of management scheme here, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that could be. So what's happening with on the West Coast, that's with Ixodes pacificus, a related tick species, when they feed off of lizards, the lizards are clear. And if the tick is infected, the lizard is clearing the infection often, because when the tick takes in blood, it's taking blood, it's taking in microbes, so it's also taking in the immune system cells of the host. And so some hosts have better immunity to Borrelia burgdorferi than others, and so that gets taken in and can clear Borrelia. That might, I should emphasize, might be explaining the differences in the microbiomes that we see in our animals, where the ticks are taking in different types of immune system elements based on the host they feed on. So these are all possibilities for helping us to reduce the transmission of disease. But it, I should emphasize, it's also basic research, which I know is not a very pleasing answer. I know we want to get some solutions, but it really is helping. It's a slow process, and it's helping us to build a body of knowledge on what's going on here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have the building blocks in order to understand what to do next, right?
Right.
So what about that what to do next? I mean, one of the questions that arises for me is, would you want to study ticks that have had a human blood meal? I mean, would that be interesting to know about the microbiome of the tick after it feeds on a human?
Yes, I mean, very interesting. That creates some challenges in just doing that research. I think the problem with studying humans is that once the tick has fed on you, the damage is done. And by the way, that tick is not going to make it anyway.
Right.
It would be interesting. That becomes tricky with the with setting up those experiments. There's understandably and importantly lots of ethical guidelines and procedures that we're not quite set up to deal with in my lab right now, but it would be of interest.
Well, good. We'll have you back on with whatever the next step is, probably not an ethically sourced human lab experiment, but to figure out what the next step is then, now knowing that the blood meal of a tick and which animal it comes from can have some significant influence on the microbiome of that tick. Bill Landesman is an environmental microbiologist at Green Mountain College. He specializes in studying tick microbiomes, and we can put a link to his full study at vpr.org. Bill, thank you very much as always.
Thank you, Jane.